This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk everything deadlifts. Everything you want to know about deadlifts. We talk about it today. Listen now.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson and Christopher Moore. Today we're going to be talking about deadlifts. We were sitting around and thinking, what should we talk about next? And we were like, man, we had a shit ton to say about squats.
Yeah, and that was a good episode.
And we had a really great time doing that. And so we figured we'll talk about deadlifts.
It was a virtual cornucopia, just a treasure trove of things you can talk about with the deadlift.
And at first I was thinking, man, how are we going to fill up at least 40 minutes of show talking about deadlifts? But then I thought about the squats. I thought the same thing there. And then we talked for an hour and a half.
Then Doug filled up like 5 iPad pages worth of notes.
Which is like
everything resolved itself.
Which is like 1 page in real life. But whatever.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, man.
So, real quick, make sure you guys get over to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter. We got a lot of new stuff going on. And if you want to be informed about what's happening next and when new episodes post, make sure to head on over there, put your email in. What do they get, Doug, if they put their email address in on barbellshrug.com?
A sweet video of you with Rich Froning, the top 8 snatch mistakes. Number 8 snatch mistake is a special
It's a secret. You have to put your email in to find out what number 8 is.
It's pretty funny, so if you haven't seen it, check it out.
There used to be 7 snatch mistakes, but now there's 8. So, I mean, you obviously don't know.
Is 8 a secret massage tip between you and Rich? That people can see if they share the extra special emails? I didn't touch it, man. It's just
we got a buzz going.
Our buzz is back.
It's the opposite of a buzz kill. It's a bad thing.
A buzz kill is a bad thing. Well. Stop. You're good.
It's gone.
Temporarily. Good job,
don't touch
Doug.
Anything.
Good job, dude.
That didn't work.
I have no idea if that was me, but I'm taking credit.
Yeah. We'll give you the credit. That's okay. Also, we have the 6-month muscle gain program starting up in like a week.
About 2 weeks, the registration will open, and then it'll open about 5-6 weeks from right now, something like that.
It begins the very beginning of October, but we let people register the month before. Make sure to go and sign up for that because it sold out the last couple times. So we'll see what happens this time.
You can go to muscle.barbellshrug.com if you want to have or see more information about that program.
Awesome.
The registration will open up, and then your life will open up to a whole new set of strength possibilities.
So, Doug, why would we want a deadlift?
All right, so basic things for a deadlift. In my opinion, deadlifts, and as a side note, pull-ups are my 2 favorite things to judge if you've gotten overall stronger. It has a great yes-no quality about it. If you picked it up off the ground and you got it locked out, you did it. There wasn't like, oh, you didn't hit depth or you bounced the weight or anything like that. So deadlifts is probably my favorite thing for assessing overall total body strength from pushing on the ground all the way out to your hands.
But there's still plenty of people who will bitch and moan about the way you deadlift. I saw this video. This was true. Again, we talked about as we were doing our pre-gaming over coffee and bullshit. I saw a YouTube video of who's the one of the giant strongmen. I think he's like 6'8". Brian Shaw. He's like 6'8", like 450 pounds. This is the biggest human being I think that is alive now. And just strongest out. But there's a video of him doing a 985 deadlift.
Right.
Single. No, I didn't think anybody would ever argue that that's strong. And here is a fucking guy who posted on the YouTube page. Sorry for my hard P's, ladies and gentlemen. Don't bang me on the comments for that. I'm doing hard P's this morning. But somebody says, oh, yeah, pretty strong, I guess, bro. But he's wearing straps, so it doesn't count. You go, wow, man. The guy deadlifted 985 pounds, which is sort of a rare instance.
Well, if we all put straps on, we could deadlift that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's, as soon as you start arguing with trolls on the internet, just keep that in mind, that somebody out there will call a 1,000-pound deadlift not strong. You cannot win. The force is too strong with these ones. Right. These are not the droids you're looking for. Avoid at all costs. Trouble.
No, yeah, if you're a smaller guy, like a double bodyweight deadlift, isn't that crazy? But it's not like that for bigger guys. That strength curve isn't linear. Like it tapers off the bigger you are. You can do a triple bodyweight clean if you weigh 110 pounds, but you can't do a triple bodyweight clean if you're 350.
So let me just take a pause and say the deadlift, like Doug is saying, is probably like the definitive test of strength. Can you pick up that heavy ass weight or can you not? It's like wrestling. It's like throwing something heavy for distance. It's a fundamental test of your awesomeness as a strong person, the degree to which you are awesome. And yes, if you wear straps to do it, that's fine. If that makes you feel good, it's still a really good thing to do.
I think you're using this as a measure to see if you got stronger. So this may not be like the number one test of strength across the spectrum of all fitness. You know what I mean? Like, well, I deadlift more than you, so I'm stronger than you. It's a thing about like, am I stronger than I was before?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, because I honestly don't think, I mean, the deadlift can't be just the only thing we're looking at for overall strength.
That's not the end all be all, but it's the one that I like to use just because I'm better at deadlifting than I am at squatting.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's because he's better at it.
Right. Well, like, but you know, it's, you can find other things that are good tests of strength, but nothing you could argue being just better than.
Yeah, the problem with some, say, why I do agree with you is like something like a squat, you know, because one guy might be squatting deeper than another, and you know,
just because high bar versus low bar stance, yeah, shoes, belts, wraps, it's more complicated.
With the deadlift, you reach down, you pick up the barbell, you stand up. Yeah, you did it or you didn't do it.
And then when you set the world record in your local Globo gym, then all the hot chicks come to you and want to hang out with you. And then you drive away in your car that is now a Porsche. Everything opens up to you because the world loves good deadlifters. That's fucking right. Universe loves that shit.
Oh, man. So another point, it's a raw strength thing. It's not super technical. So it's not,
and not compared to snatching, it's not really that technical. It's easier to learn. So if you're brand new, then it's an easier movement to pick up. It doesn't take you 3 years to perfect your deadlift in most cases, unless you have some severe mobility issues coming in.
And if you're the guy who's like, what do you mean they're different? Aren't all these pulls the same? Then you shouldn't be listening to this show.
You should be listening to this show, because we're going to talk about how they're different.
Well, maybe, okay, well, that's the point.
Stay tuned.
I know plenty of people who are like, why is a deadlift different than a snatch?
We're about to tell you all the differences, but Chris is going to say, if you don't know, you shouldn't be here.
Go away.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. The other reason that we're talking about deadlifts is that it's probably the most fundamental movement pattern that there is just in your regular everyday life. Like, everyone picks up stuff off the ground. If you're going to school, you look at, oh, my backpack's on the ground. You go over there and you pick it up, and it's good to have a fundamental knowledge about how to pick things up just in the regular everyday world.
That's a very good point, Doug.
Common sense tip number 500. Yeah. Sometimes in life, you got to pick things up off the things.
Well, I've said that on the show many times. We're not teaching people how to lift weights. We're teaching people how to move, and weights are just a very convenient thing to teach people with.
And that's why getting better at deadlifts makes you better at picking up your school books.
Being a human being.
Then you become smarter, and you form your own entrepreneurial venture when you graduate, and then you become rich and a millionaire. And because then, now you actually get all the chicks in the mansions because you learn how to deadlift.
Third idealism he's putting
this
in the show.
This is what Chris believes now. Before, he believed that deadlifting would get him chicks, but now he thinks money will.
You opened up my consciousness. Well, I was listening to Barbell Business, so.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
I've been enjoying those episodes lately.
Yeah, so like when I teach fundamentals, one of the things I really make a good point to say is this is not something you only use in the gym. When you go home, practice deadlifting, whether it's a pencil, golf ball, baby, you know, whatever. You know, use this form whenever you do anything, because those guys that hurt their back picking up golf balls, it's because they're doing it wrong. They reach over, they're slouched all over. If you go down and you pick up a golf ball like you deadlift, the potential for injury pretty much goes away. And that's kind of what I try to, when I'm teaching somebody new, that's kind of where we go.
Yeah, it's not an unsafe movement. I've had, like my mom, for example, growing up, you know, I'm a high school kid, I'm 17 years old, and I go, oh, I deadlifted 400 pounds today. And my mom's like, oh my God. Like when I was first getting into this, you know.
Oh my God, Doug, you're going to blow your back out.
Right.
My little boy, picking up 400 pounds.
I've always been very fortunate that I had really good mobility. I did gymnastics when I was really young, and I've had good flexibility my whole life. So I never had mobility issues. I was always able to, as a person with good deadlifting leverage, get into a good position. Yeah. So I've been very fortunate to have pretty good deadlift technique. pretty much since day one, which is awesome. So, and also having a good strength coach since day one as well, I was always in an environment where I wasn't like metconning with deadlifts on my first day where I was like super fatigued and my back was like bowing like a scared cat. Like,
and then the next day, somebody's like, you know what we did yesterday? 800 rounds of deadlifts. What should we do today? One arm deadlift.
That's right.
Which is like that, but I kind of make that joke, but see, I had the opposite experience as Doug, where my foundation was self-taught through high school and then getting involved with a strength and conditioning crew when I played college football. They didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So I ended up blowing out like two lumbar discs because we would do things like, what do we do on Monday? We pulled a heavy rack pull. What should we do today? Probably try to beat that rack pull PR 5 days later. Right. So dude, I mean, honestly, so with rounded back and people who thought deadlifting was just try harder, just like their squats and everything else, you want to get better, just, oh, I see you're rounding, just let's keep the weight on your back and let's have you try not to round. That was the approach to teaching all this shit.
Don't round.
That ruined my football career forever. That destroyed my back. It took me 10 years to build it back.
I think we're going to get into that, especially after. What's going on here?
The dog tail between my legs.
Dog's going to unplug things.
You should probably get the dog out of this podcast studio. It's so unprofessional.
Just to close that loop a little bit, not to talk about how I had great deadlifting technique, and I just like to talk about myself. The reason I brought that up was that growing up, I would have good technique and I would be doing it in a safe manner, but still my mom not knowing anything about weightlifting, she'd say, well, like, you're going to screw your back up if you keep doing that. And I would say, I don't know, like, it's not a fundamentally unsafe thing to do. If I walk over to my backpack, as an example, and I pick it up, do you think that's unsafe? And she's like, well, no. I'm like, well, that's not that different. It's the exact same thing. The only reason that picking up my backpack is safe is because I'm strong enough to do it correctly. Well, if I'm strong enough to do 400 pounds correctly, then it's still safe. As long as my technique doesn't change and I don't get out of position and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The movement pattern isn't the thing that's unsafe. It's safe if you can do it correctly and you're strong enough to do it correctly with, you know, hundreds of pounds, then it's okay.
Is that when your mom was like, what in the hell have I give birth to? This little smart creature is already functioning at this level. Tell me, that's a pretty wise thought to have when you're in fucking high school.
Yeah, again, I was very lucky to have a competent strength coach growing up. A lot of people didn't, 15, 20
your
years
mom's
ago.
Like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Meanwhile, I'm still trying to teach my mom how to turn on a fucking DVD player.
So what kind of different deadlifts do we have? Well, I mean, there's about a million different ways that we can practice picking things up off the ground.
There's a lot of variety, and depending on your body type and your mobility, like, there's some that might not be very good for you to do or very safe for you to do, and there's some that are still a good option. So everyone knows classic regular deadlifting, I'll say, where your feet are basically hip width apart and your hands are hanging basically straight down from your shoulders and you're pulling on a regular bar at regular bumper plate height. That's a regular deadlift. Then you got sumos and snatch grip deadlifts and Olympic, like, clean and snatch deadlifts. You got hex bar deadlifts and deficit deadlifts and rack pulls, like Chris was saying. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of different types of deadlifts. And again, like I said, the one that you choose that works out best for you, you know, that'll depend on a variety of factors, how much training experience you have, whether you're a beginner or an advanced lifter, how tall you are even.
What your overall leverages are and how long your femurs are.
Yeah, you don't have to get stuck in this world of only one single type of deadlift. I was teaching fundamentals the other day, and a guy came in, and he's an older guy. He was probably, I'll be generous and say he was 60, maybe 55 or 60 years old, and he had very poor mobility. And everyone comes through and does, a practice deadlift with 95 pounds, and they all look good enough to get by for the moment, just to say, you're probably a little bit round there, we'd want to make this change and that change. But then one guy comes in and he looks significantly worse than the rest of the group. So for that guy, having very poor mobility, and after talking to him, he already has a back injury, he probably isn't going to pull deadlifts from the floor with a regular bar. For that guy, we're probably going to have him do maybe some type of a hex bar deadlift or a sumo deadlift, something that's a little more conservative and a little bit easier to get into
a
good position. It's easier to get into position because you don't need quite as much range of motion with those other movements. And then we'll probably have to elevate the bar a little bit, mm-hmm. so he can start not at mid shin, but more like maybe above the knee, like he's doing a rack pull, because that's the position that he can get a neutral spine with. He can't get a neutral spine any lower than that.
Yeah, I'd say... It reminds me of, I posted a video on the Barbell Shrugged wall of me doing a speed pull, which is just a fancy way of saying I used a little less weight and I pulled it as fast as I could, getting a good training effect without beating my back up. And I did it standing on three or four rubber mats, so my feet are elevated higher than they normally would be. So that's called a deficit deadlift because you're pulling from a deficit. Very good exercise. And then somebody posted on there, kind of joking, but he said, yeah, this is great. I might try this. But I did hear one time Eric Creasy call this the stupidest exercise ever.
Yeah, he just wrote an article about that not too long ago.
And I think the point I want to make is, I mean, obviously, I like Eric. Eric's a smart guy. But my point is that I think everybody should really stop thinking in terms of what is the best version of exercise to do, because that is that just all depends on you and where you're at. All these are just tools that could be amazingly effective for you. If you can't grab a bar at regular bar height mid shin without rounding over, then for you the regular deadlift becomes a silly thing to do because you're going to maybe hurt yourself.
Well, I find
no one would call deadlift silly, but doing that now for you could be. So the better option is a hex bar, and you could walk down. The same thing goes for if you've got an altered, your experience lifter with altered physiology, altered mechanics. For Eric, it might be stupid. For me, I get really strong and fast when I try this kind of exercise.
Well, right.
So
there's
no such thing as stupid and not stupid.
I mean, Eric doesn't train guys to get bigger deadlifts, right? He doesn't train power lifters. He trains
baseball players.
Yeah, he's a baseball. And the same thing, you got some of these other coaches, what's his face, all does mostly hockey players. And so he's like Mr. Single Leg, right? Like, you know, these guys may badmouth squatting or back squats or deadlifts or something like this, but these are guys that they are not in the business of training power lifters or even a lot of times not even general population.
Yeah, Mike Boyle badmouths deadlifts quite a bit, but Eric Cressy loves deadlifting. He talks about deadlifting all the time.
He's a really good deadlifter too.
He really is.
Really good deadlifter.
He deadlifts like
630 or something at least.
Oh, yeah, 650. He's chasing 700. I don't know if he's gotten it yet. At like 180 pounds.
Yeah, and his body weight, he can't be more like 6 feet tall, right? I mean, that's a good lift.
Yeah, I want to say he's relatively short. I've never met him, but I don't think he's over 6 foot.
So that's good. Sometimes these guys, you know, their sole focus is on improving these guys in this one sport. And yeah, maybe putting taking a baseball player and having him do a bunch of overhead presses isn't good, but it doesn't mean it's not good for everybody.
So yeah, you can use these really fancy kinds of deadlifts to super target certain aspects you're not good at, whether you're a beginner who can't get down or an advanced powerlifter who needs to target a certain part of the lift. But I would argue, hey, do a deficit if you have the range of motion, everything's good, because you can use less weight and get a good training effect. If I'm a baseball player, why not do that? Right. Why not deadlift less and train harder? I mean, there's always ways to look at this. It's not like you can just easily say, that's stupid. Well, if it makes sense, if you can come up with a good reason why somebody needs a longer range of motion. Like for me, I got short arms. I struggle to get in a position at the beginning of a deadlift. If I can make myself get good at a little bit of a harder position, it's easier to get in a good deadlift position when I lower my feet back down. It's like the opposite of rack pull. If it's super easy to get in the position for a rack pull because the bar is high, you don't have to bend over as much, and a deadlift is a little harder still, then a deficit's even harder still. And then you can do things like a snatch grip deficit deadlift, which I do occasionally, which makes things super duper stupendously hard. And when you're a fat guy with a big belly, it's almost impossible. If you work and get good at it, then a regular deadlift, you have good form all of a sudden. It's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic how that works.
Yeah, with your leverages, you're stronger at the bottom. Is that correct? And you have trouble locking out?
Yeah, usually whenever the most I ever deadlifted, and I'm actually pretty proud of what I could do based on the fact that I have a really long back that's injury prone for all those bad decisions I made years ago. Short stubby arms, short stubby legs. Oh, stubby is relative.
Not designed.
I should have been a weightlifter, not a powerlifter, but that's not how my karma worked out, man. So yeah, so for me, I always would pull really quick and explosively off the bottom, and then locking out with this long back would be a real chore. It'd be really hard.
Right.
So I always got better, faster off the bottom by doing these deficit lifts, so I could get the bar moving faster, had a better chance of completing the lift. It always helped me a lot.
Try to outrun the part of the lift that you're not quite as strong at.
Yeah,
the
top we'll probably get into it a little later, but I'll say how I balance that lift with other kinds of deadlifts to give me my best personal chance of being a good deadlift that might help people think about how they could use some tools in their training. I'm sure we'll talk about application later. I don't want to look at me being all focused.
Yeah, he's like, let me tease the audience. I'm
setting that up. I'm not going to go do it now. I'm going to be focused. This is the new Enlightened Chris, CTP. Nod the camera. That's it. To give me acknowledgement for being a smarter man.
Oh, he didn't do it.
Oh, damn.
Oi.
I won't let the trolls get me this week. No, sir.
Okay, so you mentioned
that. The whole point of a troll is that no matter what you do, they're coming after you.
Let him come for something new.
So you mentioned the deficit deadlift. We talked a little bit about Eric Cressy mentioning that in a recent article that he wrote. I would imagine, I haven't read that article, but I'm going to project a little bit that since I've read a bunch of his stuff in the past, that he's not against deficit deadlifts
and
at
Doug,
all.
Doug loves Eric Cressy.
I do.
Man, he pretty much. He
Eric just, Cressy, if you're listening, I've read your stuff for a long time. And I think
sweaty bro fest.
Everything you do is great.
I remember back in the day. Doug's like, Eric this, Eric that. I'm like, just shut up about Eric Cressy already.
Eric and Doug sitting in the tree. God.
Yeah. Again, Eric coaches mostly baseball players, and I was a coach for the Colorado Rockies Class A advanced team in 2006, so I followed a lot of his baseball stuff and then been reading his stuff ever since. So Eric's a smart guy. I enjoy reading his stuff. But for the most part, I'm going to assume that he's not bad-mouthing the movement. He's kind of saying what you're saying. It's not a bad movement, but most people, especially new people, probably aren't doing it as well as they should, so and it's not the variation for them.
Let me qualify and say, I didn't read that article. I just read the comment. I did like most idiots on the internet. I just read the comments like, okay, well, if that's the case, then I don't agree or whatever, but it's fine.
I read the abstract.
Articles are hard to read.
It's the same as reading the paper.
Hard to read, man. It's long. It takes
too long.
Time.
Did not read.
And then if I don't understand a part of it, I'll feel stupid.
I got to think hard. I don't want to fucking think hard. I just move on with my life. Do something else.
So if we were to kind of rank the difficulty of deadlifts, if you're brand new and you want to start on an easier variation, and then as you become more advanced, you start doing some of the harder variations, what variations are probably some of the easier ones you should start with, and then which ones are some of the harder ones that you could get to more, you know, down the line?
I guess the hex bar deadlift, is that the only way that bar is called? That hex bar?
Hex bar, trap bar.
Trap bar, hex bar deadlift is probably, in my mind, it's got to be the easiest deadlift.
Oh, yeah.
To do.
Yeah, you need less range of motion of the hips. You can put some of the stress back towards your ankles, kind of treat it almost more like a squat than a deadlift.
So the bar is a little higher. Your feet are a little bit further, so the bar is kind of right in the middle of your body.
Yeah,
so
a lot of times
you have a favorable position to start with, easier position.
The hex bar will have a piece of the bar that pops up, I mean, 2 or 3 inches taller than what the weights are at. So
you have two options usually.
It's kind of like
elevated.
It's kind of like an elevated. Yeah, it's got an elevated handle.
That's easily, I think, the simplest. If you struggle with the deadlift, that one will be your starting point.
Yeah, the hex bar, and then
and you can just do
well, you don't have deadlifts to worry about your shins at that point. You don't have to worry about like whether you're going around your legs or not with the
it'll
hex
happen
bar.
Automatically you'll feel it immediately if you're too far forward or too far back. The weight will just kind of roll around as you try to pick it up, so it's a great way to teach you where to be. And I guess the next easiest version, I think, would just be an elevated deadlift, like a block pull or a rack pull, where it's a little higher so you don't have to work so hard to get in a position. You just got to have somebody watch you, because it's easy to do too much weight, I guess, and start making mistakes.
Yeah, that's certainly true. That's the balance for the rack pulls with new people, is that if you start someone above the knee, for example, where the bar is starting above the knee and not mid-shin, they can pull more weight, but they're still new, so you don't want them to be pulling like a super max deadlift where they're pulling 130% of what they actually really could deadlift from the floor.
That was one of the main lessons I learned in powerlifting, is everybody thinks that. And some people do this because they do believe in it, but if you can really overload, like I know guys who are 800-pound deadlifters, guys I used to roll with. That sounds cool, right? Guys I used to roll with back in the day. They would do like 800-pound deadlifts on the ground, but they could do rack pulls like 1,100 pounds.
Yeah.
And they would just overload their lift so much, their spine would be so stressed by that, they just said, well, look, dude, if I can do that, I just don't fear an 800-pound deadlift attempt in the meet. I go, well, you're definitely right. But I'd say for most people,
it's an advanced lifter.
For most people, you need to think about what position would you be in if you had pulled it off the ground and now found yourself in this rack pull position. So it's going to be a little, shoulders maybe a little bit more of the bar. You're not going to be wedging yourself underneath and trying to lift the most possible weight from the top of your thigh, because that won't really help you, because you won't be looking like that.
Yeah,
in a regular deadlift or a regular clean pull or snatch pull.
That's something a lot of people don't understand.
That's the thing to think
same
about.
Same thing with the pulls off the blocks too, is people make the mistake of setting up in a different position than what you're going to be in, as if you had pulled it off the floor. Yeah.
If your job is
very common mistake.
If you want to be a strong man and you're going to compete in that movement, a partial deadlift for max weight, learn how to do the max weight. But if you're trying to become overall better at pulling, then you got to think, how can I use this to make me better, not test myself on this, not manipulate this to do the most weight because my ego needs the satisfaction.
In the pools, if you're trying to do the overload thing, you're trying to maximize and optimize your pull from the floor. And if you don't have the range of motion already set in from the floor, you probably have no business in the overload scenario.
Yeah.
So, you know, range of motion first and then start playing around with maybe some of these overload principles.
Sounds very wise to me, Mike.
That's why I'm here.
So you got hex bar deadlifts or trap bar deadlifts, and then rack pulls would be probably number two, or maybe we put them in the same category.
They
could
be very hard, but in terms of technical need, they're pretty similar. I mean, you don't have to work so hard to be in good position.
I'd probably put sumo deadlifts as the next variation in that progression, where sumo deadlifts are easier to get into a good position compared to a regular from the floor, you know, traditional style deadlift where your feet are on the inside and your hands are on the outside. A sumo deadlift, if you've never done one before, your feet are wide and your hands are inside your feet, so your arms are hanging right between your knees, basically, so you have a wider stance deadlift.
I had a novel thought. Do you think that is, I mean, it's a very comfortable position to be in for a lot of people. I guess that's why you see a lot of people, I won't name names, not going to name names on this show, but a lot of people like to do cleans where they jump those fucking feet out to sumo position to catch instead of just bending their knees to get down. I wonder if there's any sort of tie into that. I think I have no idea, but there could be.
Yeah, I think there's more of a, just a, motor pattern. Yeah, I'm going to have to let the thought finish itself in my mind first.
The neotropics have to do their work first.
Yeah, I think, you know, when people aren't actually very comfortable at front squatting if they're having a hard time catching a clean. You know, they actually probably aren't very good at getting under the bar. They're probably not finishing the pull. There's too many other variables there.
I started trying to go down a rabbit hole, and
I realized that we should fucking just get out of it.
Let's get out of the rabbit hole. So we'll make this point. If we could make one point right now, I'd say...
That was your fault, by the way.
Don't you point fingers at me, jerk face. I'd say that the point I would make is that before you get too caught up on reaching for the load, and like, I need to be able to pull that. Trust me, if you spend the time it takes to make sure your mechanics are what they should be, not perfect, but what they should be now. Let's say about a front squat and a clean and delve in. If you want a future in that exercise and you're starting now, learn it the right way now. Don't start chasing load and make it impossible to learn the form later, because you're going to cement something in the place that can't be corrected. And you're gonna fuck yourself in the future. Take your time to learn it. Really. Like what I've spent the last year of my life doing that set me up for a new wave of PRs now. Go back and make sure your posture is as good as it can be.
By the way,
then start loading the bar again.
I just want to bring this up because it crossed my mind. All these people that talk about training their posterior chain and, you know, I need a low bar box squat.
I don't even talk that anymore.
I'm like, look.
It's too much. Too many words.
We're going to list off like 10 exercises that are great for posterior chain. So don't worry about it.
You don't have to. It's like primal.
We just solved your problem with this episode. I promise.
Let me tell you this. If you use the words primal, paleo, posterior chain. I don't know, it's a lot of P's, sorry. If you say things like swag, I hate you. I hate you. Stop it. We don't need all these stupid words for these things we're saying.
Chris says these things and then he uses the words himself or all the world doesn't. I'll use them and then he claims that he loves me. You know,
whatever. I love you despite your faults. Despite your faults, because you have that great beard and your kind soul. So I'll tolerate some buzzwords for him, but we don't need these things.
Oh, I don't know if we should talk about that.
That's right. You might be getting rid of his beard.
No, we're not talking about
CTP
that.
CTP is about to post a video about that.
Is there, so should we say next after that, Doug, I guess would be a regular deadlift after sumo deadlifts as being the next hardest thing?
Yeah, I go along with that. A regular deadlift is a pretty middle of the road deadlift variation for people to do.
Now here's where it gets fun. How do you get things hard? What's your next hardest thing after just regular deadlift?
After regular deadlift? Either I would probably go with a snatch grip before I'd go with a deficit pull, mm-hmm. and then snatch grip deficit pulls would probably be the hardest variation.
And I would say, I'll make the inception loop one hole deeper. I'd say my new favorite exercise is snatch grip, sometimes deficit stiff legged deadlifts, which I really enjoy. But that's, you got to have some time to get used to that, because you'll rip your hamstring
This is a small percentage of the population.
You were mentioning
do that, correctly.
That, and then Doug was saying in the kitchen, like, so we need to remind people you've been powerlifting for forever
or weightlifting. Yeah, you have to be strong to where you know what you're doing. So don't do this as a beginner. But I really like them. Famously, I guess Dmitry Klokov has made them pretty well known, because this cat, if you don't know who that is, just type in Klokov on YouTube and spend your Sunday afternoon watching really awesome, fun Russian videos, like one where he's doing a 230 pound or 230 kilo power clean at some guy plays a What's this instrument you do this?
Accordion.
Some guy's playing Russian music on the accordion. It's great stuff. But
it's
he
like
does
polka and weightlifting.
He's got one video where he does like a 250 kilo snatch grip, so hands wide, stiff leg, so knees straight, deadlift like five reps, like 550 pounds with that.
This dude is not training for health either. Keep that in mind.
He's trained to be as strong as he can be, which he's close to that.
If you watch that video, he's round. His back is round in the video. And kind of like Mike was just saying about the conversation we're having in the kitchen.
It has been a little bit round.
Yeah. When you do a snatch grip deficit straight leg deadlift pull, you've been powerlifting for 25 years. You know what kind of round is, especially if it's round with your thoracic spine, your upper back, as opposed to your lower back. And you know what a little bit round but safe is versus like disc blowingly round and unsafe. So
yeah.
If you're brand new, if you've been lifting for less than 5 years, you probably shouldn't do any pulls where you're round upper or lower back at all. Just stick with basics. You can still get plenty strong having a straight back doing regular deadlifts. You don't need to do all these weird, crazy variations that you see, you know, one of the best weightlifters, Klokov, in the world doing. So
don't fall into the trap.
Do the basics.
And we did a careful. This is the hardest version of this thing you can do.
Yeah.
Be cool.
All right. We're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about exactly how you can improve your deadlift. And then I actually want to touch on Olympic lifts, deadlifting in regard to weightlifting. So we'll touch on that as well.
We'll touch it.
And the technique wad you're about to watch is going to be phenomenal. I know that.
So much technique. I mean, of how to do things.
Do we have a technique wad?
You're definitely going to have to edit that. All right, welcome back to Barbell Shrug, the deadlift edition.
That sounds hardcore, man.
Yeah,
wow.
I was thinking about TV and how all those news anchors, you know, they get real into it.
You just titillated me.
Yeah. All right, first I want to throw something out there real quick for everybody. We're talking about deadlifts and in regard to getting better at deadlifting and CrossFit and stuff like that. But I want to talk a little bit about Olympic weightlifting. And if at any time you're wanting to get better at weightlifting, doing a lot of the deadlift stuff we're talking about now may not be beneficial. I actually advise a lot of people who are CrossFitters who want to spend a period of time getting better at their weightlifting technique to take a break from doing any deadlifting at all. You may do some clean variation of the deadlift or a snatch deadlift where you are practicing the bar path at a
submaximal
load.
There you go, coach.
Yeah. So you're not going to be going really heavy. You're going to be going off a percentage. This is why a lot of times if you look at a weightlifting program and snatch pulls, snatch deadlifts, clean deadlifts, they're being prescribed at a percentage of your clean or your snatch because you want to be able to practice proper bar path, and that's what it's all about. So you're
suggesting that the deadlift is not the same as a clean or a snatch, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
A clean, and we have a technique one on this.
By the way, I agree with you.
I know. There's a technique one on this, and we talk about how you know, a clean is not a deadlift where you jump at the end. All right. So I know a lot of people tend to teach it that way for some reason, but it's not the case. So if you ever want to actually get good at the Olympic lifts, you should probably take a break from deadlifting for a while and work on your weightlifting technique. And part of that is leaving out the traditional deadlift and maybe doing some snatch deadlift or clean deadlift work.
Don't be the guy who goes, if I deadlift more, I'll clean more, because that shit ain't true. I'll show you 8,000 million versions of somebody who tried to get better at deadlifting through like powerlifting means, and it didn't affect their clean.
Well, that'll be true if you're really bad at it. So it all depends. Like you talk a lot about low hanging fruit, Chris.
Really bad at what?
I do. My fruit hangs low.
At cleans? What are you talking about?
Anything. Well, if you're bad at deadlifting or if you're bad at cleans, like if one of those go up, the other one's gonna probably go up as well. Like say you're only deadlifting 300 pounds and you can clean, say, you know, 200 or 150 pounds.
Yes.
Well, if your deadlift goes up to 400, you probably can do a shitty power clean.
That's a very short window.
Exactly.
It'll happen.
So I wouldn't say it would never happen. But if you're looking to, you know, raise your potential for weightlifting down the road, then
How about this, coach? Don't assume it'll happen, because it probably won't.
I go along with that. For me, actually, if I increase my max strength, if my back squat or my deadlift goes up, my cleans and my snatches go up too.
No, that's a good.
Like my technique hasn't changed in almost a decade.
I was gonna say your technique is sound. Yeah, on snatching.
If I just get stronger, it all goes up.
See, that's different. Getting stronger in squats is a different thing.
If you're a fantastic weightlifter and you get stronger, your lifts will go up.
Yeah.
If you're not a fantastic weightlifter and you get stronger, your lifts will just still be.
I guess that's an interesting. Well, I won't go too far in that, but that's an interesting thing is the squat is just fundamental, inherent extending of your body, which you're going to do under all circumstances. The deadlift is mechanically not like a clean or a snatch. So getting really good at the squat is just a different thing. The squat is tied into everything. It's very zen. You cannot separate the squat from other things you want to get good at.
Yeah, and that's why you can go a period of time without deadlifting and probably squat and
that's not
hurt your fitness.
If we're talking about limitations of these strength exercises, the deadlift is good in that you just pick the ball off the ground, and the squat is tough because are you going to hit a certain depth? Where do you put the bar? What kind of bar do you use? Do you use wraps or a belt or not? So it's hard to make it a relative comparison. You got to do it the same way if you want to know if you are getting stronger. But the flip side is the inherent physiological stimulus of the squat makes you better. It's across the board. That's why everybody, football players, weightlifters, powerlifters, should be doing this a lot of squatting. But yeah, the deadlift is a squirrely different animal.
Let's talk about something a little more tangible for a minute.
That's my brainstorm
kind of philosophical moment. There, like a bunch of nonsensical meaningless to a lot of people.
One more thing before we...
I love being nonsensical.
One more thing before we get back on track, and that is with the weightlifting programming I do, our weightlifters, I won't say they never, ever, ever, but, 99% of the time, they're not going to pull a deadlift. They'll do a clean deadlift, snatch deadlift, some variation of a snatch or clean. Even if it is over 100%, if we're working with percentages, sometimes I say, hey, just go heavy. We're not working off percentages of your clean. I just want to make sure there's no technique breakdown. Yeah. So I'm just going to say that, and now we can move on.
Okay.
It's a good point. It's a good point to make, Mike. You didn't go off the tangent.
Yeah.
All right. So volume-wise, how much volume should you be doing of a regular deadlift? And it's going to vary depending on your training age. So if you're a beginner versus an advanced athlete, like if you deadlift 350 versus you deadlift 750, like how much volume can you be doing on a deadlift? I'm gonna pose that to you, Mr. Moore.
Well, I think the thing that separates a beginner from an advanced athlete in my mind always is that when you're beginning, you're so under your potential that you can't really make yourself too beat up. So if you deadlift 300 pounds, it's a great start. You're not weak. You're just where you are. But if you could say, if within you there's a potential to deadlift 500 and now you can only do 300, you can do more work now because you're not in a position where you can make yourself very tired. You're not strong enough to hurt yourself yet. Mm-hmm. So I think you can do nice progressive weekly doses of like three sets of five or five sets of five in the deadlift once a week. I think you'd be fine. But quickly, as you start getting to where your real potential is, as you get to 400, now as you get near five, the deadlift becomes I always think of the deadlift like my checking account or like a credit card, where if I do it heavy, I gotta pay back the recovery debt before I do it again. And that means any form of it. Because if I deadlift now, like my best deadlift is not astronomically good compared to the weightlifters, but it's near my physiological peak. So I do it heavy for like one set of three heavy, like once a month, instead of doing it weekly. So I think if you've been CrossFitting heavy and your deadlift is moving slow and steady, you're probably in the realm of like one good set of five heavy in a deadlift, maybe once a week, might be all you could possibly need for a regular deadlift. That's sort of my highest level thought about what it is.
Now, yeah, so if you're brand new, once or twice a week is fine. But if you are more advanced, maybe every 2 weeks, maybe every 3 weeks, you're going to have to do it much, much less.
Very quickly, it could be like once a month, one heavy set of five could be all you really need for the deadlift.
I think too, though, like, and this is just a theory of mine, since I don't really train powerlifters, I'm training weightlifters, so I'm not exactly asking them to pull real heavy real frequently, but...
Well, I'm thinking about just strength in general as well. I'm not thinking about power.
Right, so that's why I'm saying this is more of a theory for me. I haven't seen this in practice a whole lot, but I've talked to some powerlifters who, they're better deadlifters than they are squatters, so they're built to deadlift, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds
the
like,
same guys who are like, the meat doesn't start till the bar hits the floor. That's because you're good at deadlifting, asshole. If you had a long back, you would say, oh, the squat's where it's at.
Right. That's exactly true. Right.
So everybody does.
But, you know, the guy that struggles with the deadlift, you know, do you think maybe he shouldn't be deadlifting as frequently because it's going to beat him up? And the guy that is built leverage-wise to deadlift more frequently and stuff like that, do you think that he can maybe almost deadlift like other people squat and not take – and the volume can change based on leverages?
I think if you're naturally good at the deadlift, you can definitely get away with doing it more because you've probably got longer arms and your back is not as compromised. You don't get as beat up by it. Mm-hmm. You're just more suited to it. You can do it more often, and there's no way to know how often is too often for you. But if you can do it weekly and you're making progress, then it's not too often for you.
Yeah, as a general rule, the movements that fit your body type, in my opinion, you can do more frequently without getting beat up.
Yeah. So for me, it's like I could do heavy good mornings a lot. That doesn't hurt me at all. I can do. I'll go ahead and go into my main point about the deadlift. What I always think about the deadlift, because I'm a guy who can't do the deadlift often, not standard heavy for sets of five. It just, every time I've ever tried to do that over the course of like a 20-year career, I guess spent since my football injury, 15 good years, where the only thing that's ever worked for me is keeping balance in mind. So in my approach, I work off basically like a 3 to 4 week block. I'm thinking in terms of tiny little packages of like 4 weeks. And I'm always thinking of balance. Like this week I did a deficit deadlift. We talked about that earlier. It's a lift that makes it really hard at the bottom. I got to fight to arch. I got to fight to get in the position. I'm using less weight, which is a good thing, but it makes me better at moving the ground bar off the ground to the middle. Mm-hmm. So the way I do balance is I wouldn't do that again next week. Not even for speed. Because it's, I fatigued myself. I made it hard in that position, so I've got that debt in mind. The next week, I'll do speed pulls again, but I will do it the flip side. I'll work a rack position. I'll move the bar up to just under my knee, which for me is not really that strong either, but then I'll work that. And then on a lot wider scale, I'll pull back. I'll go, okay, the next time I do deficit deadlifts, I'll do them heavy. And then the next time I do rack pulls, I'll do them heavy. So I'm alternating between low and high, and I'm alternating between heavy and light. So I don't overdo any one thing over the course of that month. That's the kind of way I approach it, being a guy who's got a long back with a history of lower back trouble that I know I can't deadlift a lot. So if I do those things for the deadlift and I do a lot of squatting, I've got a very potent formula for making sure my deadlift ability is where it needs to be.
What do you think about people who are also throwing deadlifting in their Metcons? So they're doing a lot of Metconing, yeah. And you know, they may have, say they're one rep max on a deadlift, maybe 400 pounds, but now they're doing a conditioning session where they're deadlifting 275 for a total of,
man, I think
40
most,
reps, you know?
I think the biggest easy mistake to make for CrossFitters, especially when they start thinking about, I gotta get stronger, which they should be thinking about that. We all agree on that. But they tend to think, okay, what can I do for strength work? I'll do 5-3-1, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do some West Side stuff. All fine. But the real risk is that you have this plan for strength, and then whoever's doing your WOD programming with your conditioning program is not thinking about what you're doing for your strength work. So it might be those times somebody's like, here's your deadlift day. Oh, and here's, we're going to do a deadlift WOD where we do this slow, 315 for 3 sets of 10. That's obviously a bad combo because it's just too much of one thing in one WOD. Or the risk is you do today, somebody goes, oh, we got a WOD on the board. It's sumo deadlift high pulls, or it's deficit deadlifts, or it's just regular deadlifts for 3 sets of 10 or 5 sets of whatever, AMRAP, whatever the fuck you want to dream up in your mind. But then it's like, well, my strength work that's independent programs later in the week a heavy deadlift. I think all those things are mistakes. If you do a WOD with a deadlift, then I think it needs to be next week at the earliest before you do any other kind of deadlift, period. Unless it's a light RDL or it's a clean deadlift at a very light percentage.
Yeah, some maximal.
You got to remember that because you did a lot of weights in something does not mean that was quote unquote light. That's the biggest mistake people make. You did a huge amount of work in that. You can't do it heavy the same week. You're going to run into trouble really quick. That would be my red flag I'm waving in front. Don't do that shit.
One of the things I do is stop for CrossFitters, and this may be, some coaches might think this is weird, but I stop programming like RDLs in the weightlifting side of like the CrossFit portion, because when I watch people doing deadlifts in a Metcon, it almost always turns into an RDL, right? Seriously.
So why, you don't need to train that anymore?
So I was like, I didn't do very many RDLs when I was weightlifting. I started CrossFitting and I was doing a lot of deadlifts. I was like, well, you basically asking these people to do speed RDLs.
It's a lazier position to be in, right? Easier to.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's not better or more efficient or anything like that. It's just where people go. So it's like one day I was looking across the gym and I was like,
you preserve those I'm quads like, when you're starting to smoke.
Everyone's doing speed RDLs.
Wow, cool.
If I don't need to program these extra.
So they're supposed to be doing good quality deadlifts, but they're in a MatCon. They're trying to go fast. And what they end up doing, just to elaborate on what Mike's saying, is they end up doing a Romanian deadlift where you keep your knees basically more or less locked out. And then you're just hinging at the hip, bouncing the weight off the floor.
So I'm watching this and I could either A,
it's bad technique,
go and try and fix everybody in the world, or B,
just know
that it's going to be an RDL for most people. And I'm not talking about in my gym. Like, if I'm programming for someone who's not even in the facility, so I don't have eyes on them all the time, I don't assume that they're doing RDLs all the time, but I do keep that in mind. That could potentially, more than likely, really happening.
Yeah, so
that's something that kind of like a light bulb that went off in my head at one point.
Yeah, do a proper deadlift if you want to do a proper deadlift in your WOD. There's nothing wrong. Like they did in the CrossFit Games. They had that heavy deadlift wall at the end that was pretty gnarly.
And might I add, you're not going to, watching the CrossFit Games, these guys aren't doing the RDL.
No, they're doing good deadlifts.
They're doing good deadlifts.
Good heavy deadlifts. And you can do it. It's fine. Just balance it out. So don't try to then program strength deadlifts in that week or even the week after that. Do that heavy thing on your WOD once a month. Give yourself some time to recover. You'll know. You might be able to tell the next time you do like an Olympic pull. If you feel a little beat up and slow on your Olympic style pulls, then you know that your back paid a little price for that. You're going to feel not so fresh. When you do feel fresh on Olympic style pull, then you go, maybe I can do a deadlift if that's important to me. But on the other side, you can do them all the time if you keep your deadlift style WOD like a assistance exercise. You can do like, if you're doing things like RDLs, you can do that. It's fine. It's lighter weight. You won't get so tired. You can do kettlebell swings. There's other things that work better for WODs sometimes. That kind of shit. That's what kettlebells are for. Not for replacing barbells, but for supplementing everything else.
Right. I completely agree. For general fitness clients, if you're just the average CrossFitter, you're not trying to go to regionals, you're not trying to go to the games, you probably don't need to deadlift in your MetCons very often. Yeah. Once in a while might be okay, but for the most part, do deadlifts in the strength session. Do kettlebell swings and other more conservative things in your MetCon. You'll still get in shape. You'll still get stronger. You'll still make great changes in your body composition. You lose fat. You'll gain muscle. The whole deal. But it's just not something that you need to do to make those changes. You don't need to deadlift in your MetCons.
Non-overlapping magisteria for the Stephen Jay Gould fans, which I'm sure there'll be none listening to this.
I'm not one of them.
Since I don't know what you're talking about, I'm going to Google that. There's not many.
That's right.
Yeah, these two things are awesome on their own. You don't have to overlap and mix them. They can stand side by side and work great.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's bad if you do. It just,
you don't have
for
to.
For some people.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Right.
There's some cases where it's okay. There's some cases where it probably should never be done. But in general, if you're competing and you have to do that in competition, you need to get used to it at some point. You need to work on your touch and go deadlifts as an example. But for the most part, you're setting yourself up for the potential of an injury if you are brand new and you're trying to MetCon with deadlifts. It doesn't always happen, but it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Last thing is, what if you can't hold on to the bar? A lot of people have trouble holding on to a heavy deadlift. Like what kind of options do you have for either changing the bar type or using straps or alternating your grip? Like what do you usually do when you're doing heavy deads?
Yeah, I think if you don't want to, I guess, use straps all the time in a heavy deadlift, because you do need to train your hands at some point. And you could also use deadlifts with a hook grip, which hurts, but I do that occasionally. It helps the grip issue. Mm-hmm. Commonly what people will do is just turn one hand over, one hand under, which is a classic deadlift grip. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes with that approach, your grip can fail. I'd say probably for most CrossFitters, that grip probably won't fail.
I think
because you're not likely going to out-pull your hand stand. I think most fit, strong CrossFitters, or people who are just emerging and getting better at it, you're not deadlifting so much where your hand can't hold on to it. I know a lot of powerlifters who can't hold on like 850-pound deadlifts, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
And that's when you need to think about doing specific hand exercises that can help you keep your grip closed. But I'd say for most people, turning that one hand over, I wouldn't anticipate many grip problems with the pull.
Just one thing on that is make sure that you alternate a little bit. Just, you don't want to develop some asymmetries.
That's why, unless
so,
I'm
so
going
sometimes
for...
sometimes do it like this and then sometimes switch and do it like that.
Yeah, like I, left hand up, right hand down, and then go back, and then switch it up. What I do is I switch it up a lot when I'm warming up, and then when I'm in the heat of the moment, I usually go with what's most comfortable for me, which is like right hand over, right hand up, left hand under.
After my like decade of really intense powerlifting training, I couldn't, like right now, I can't take my right arm, which is the hand I grab over, like a regular grip on the deadlift. I can't turn that under and hold the deadlift.
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff you will get if you don't keep balance. What I usually do is on all my warm-ups, I just grab the bar, no hook grip or anything. I just grab and hold. I can do that up to 400 or 500 pounds if I needed to.
Once it starts getting strong,
once I get a little heavy, I use a hook grip because I only have a few sets to do that because my thumb's on a, especially with a really sharp, pointy, jagged, knurled deadlift bar.
Yeah.
A hook grip for one or two heavy sets probably be all you can do before your thumb's turning hamburger. And then what I do for the heaviest sets,
never
I
hook
just,
grip on a deadlift.
Yeah. I have. I've walked away. I've deadlifted like 450 that way. I'm like, ah.
Yeah,
it's like nothing in my body hurts but my thumbs.
Yeah.
The last three sets, I just turn my left hand under and I just do the heaviest sets with the alternating grip. That way I keep a nice bounce. I work my grip a little bit. I work my hook grip a little bit, practice that. And then without destroying my fingers, I just turn to regular grip.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people probably don't trying that like one time and putting bands on a heavy deadlift. It was like 400 pounds plus some band tension. I did a hook grip and I was like, well, I'm never doing that again. That was a bad decision.
That's why I pulled those speed pulls at Louis' place. With the band, I had the hook grip in the last one with like 400 plus those double light bands, whatever you had. That was enough to work. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you probably don't need to worry about like Captains of Crush hand grip exercises for most CrossFitters and most people who want to get better at deadlifts. It's probably not something you need to worry about right now. If you're Ed Cohen and you're pulling 950 pounds at 220 pounds body weight, your hands could be a limitation. That's sort of a rare scenario.
Yeah. I kind of advise like the weightlifters if their hands are starting to get beat up too much. It's like, you know what, just use straps when you do your pulls. Like, you know, you don't go the whole day using straps. Just throw them in on some pulls and stuff like that. That way, you know, if you're pulling a bar from the floor, you know, 60 times today, if 20 of those times are with the straps because you're doing repetitive pulls, you know, for reps, then it's good there just to save your hands so you can train tomorrow.
That's a good point, man. Yeah. Use these tools to help you train more often. Like, it's not like you always deadlift with straps and you can't do it without it. It's a crutch for you. It makes you feel warm and cozy. You don't want to take them off because then it's hard to hold on the bar. That's bad. What's good is that I've snatched 18 times this week, and if I grab the bar while I use straps, my hands are going to rot off. That's a good time to use straps.
Exactly.
It's common sense shit, man. There's no theory involved. Like, straps aren't good or bad. It's like, when's the appropriate time to use them?
Yep.
Same with the belt, same with knee wraps. When's the appropriate time to use this shit?
If you're wondering what straps you should be using, I personally, if you're a weightlifter, the Iron Mine straps that are sewn together, they're nice. What's good about those is
the
weightlifting nice
style,
thin.
The loop
weightlifting style,
style,
right?
Not the kind that slides up and down with a little strap.
Yeah, loop. It doesn't slide through the other piece. But it's actually, the two ends are actually, they make, you can get them on Amazon. They're sewn together. And they're really thin, too. So some of these straps are so thick that, like, you know, it's just not going to work for weightlifting.
Like the old bodybuilding style that basically, like 18 layers of denim sewn into
exactly.
each other. Like, you could hold on to a fucking plane trying to take off with it if you could. Like, so I know some guys like Iron Mind makes some that, like, for a strongman who's pulling like a tire pull like 1200 pounds, it's made for that. Like, just don't, you don't have to worry about
you don't
that
need
stuff,
that
crazy
thing. If it's got flames on it, don't buy it.
A lot of people just use you just use like old like belt seat belts or anything that's strong material. You just cut a piece and just wrap it around and just hold it like most weightlifters do. I use the kind I like are the leather ones that Italian company makes. Who makes the handmade shoes, weightlifting shoes? What's that company? Do you know?
I'm trying to remember.
Do you know? Somebody knows out there. Text one of us if you know.
This is my strength coach from growing up. Mark, you're on the show. Say hi to everybody.
You're holding the earpiece. No, wrong way, Doug. Oh, wait. Is that right?
Anyway, I'll call you later.
Maybe you should put on speaker.
Right, yeah.
All right, I think it's about time to wrap up the show. So,
let's leave it open-ended. So
we actually do have to go.
Yeah, we have to go. But everybody, if you have a question about deadlifts, send them put them on the Facebook page, tweet at us. We can have a little afterwards thing where we kind of check it out and throw some ideas back at you. We probably didn't touch everything about deadlifts this show.
And if you disagree with us, just troll Chris Moore.
Go on. Here's what you'll do. You'll go on the YouTube page, go, who is this fucking guy with the Batman shirt? He won't shut up on his own show. He keeps wanting to say his fucking opinions. Look, I'm sorry, man, but I'm just a human being here on this show to help you, brother. If you don't like one point I make, it's okay, man. Just ignore me and I'll say something good next time. Just work with me, homie. The world is beautiful. Grass is green. The sun is shining. We all love each other here, man. Let's just lift weights and smile. Your friendly neighborhood, Barbell Buddha.
All right, guys. See you next time.
See you guys.